ladies and gentlemen, flame keepers and rivals. My name is Kaylee, and with me is my fellow dragon and crafting fan, Nate. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table.
Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you at your table. Today, we'll be looking at Flamecraft, designed by Manny Vega, art by Sandara Tang, and published by Cardboard Alchemy.
Flamecraft is a 1-5 player worker movement game where you play a merchant in a whimsical town where dragons and people work together. There are various fun and unique shops to visit where you can collect resources, help the most suited artisan dragons find jobs, or add custom enchantments to aid their shops. All of this is in the name of expanding this wonderful town and growing your own reputation as a flame keeper. Your choices can also inspire the aid of fancy dragons, which award reputation points either during or at the conclusion of gameplay. Highest reputation at the end of the game wins. With Flamecraft, you can expect to be delighted by the wonderful artwork that immerses you into the magic of the world and the many puns and references to all things fantasy, magical, draconic, hilarious, or just generally wondrous. There are stores ranging in name from Gnome Depot to Stuff the Magic Dragon, appealing to a multitude of generations and cultural references that will tickle your fancy dragon. See what I did there? Strap in for a world of puns. And join us as we explore Flamecraft, the world of whimsy, where artisan dragons can craft you fine cocktails or glass sculptures. Maybe we'll even get a nice sourdough from Critical Roles. So, Nate, made it through the first part of a scripted episode.
I did.
And the Game Table Podcast likes to start their episodes with something of wild questions that tie back to the game. I recently started reading the Fourth Wing series, so my question ties into that. What would your ideal dragon partner, were you to get to be a dragon rider or other sort of dragon companion, be like? What would you be hoping for?
See, that's a good question. So one of my favorite movies growing up was Pete's Dragon, just because that dragon was hilarious and it was all comedy. So it really depends on if I'm going the comedy route. In that case, definitely Pete's Dragon. Or if I'm going like the cool route, right? If I'm trying to be a dragon rider, I'm guessing we'll go with the cool route. And I'm drawn to like the fast, the swift dragons, you know, the ones that do like acrobatics in the air while you're riding them. That's super cool.
Okay. So you're more a fan of like toothless.
Yeah. Toothless.
Okay. Yeah. I think a witty dragon with little quips and like, you know, that wisdom of the ages that is filtered down to very sassy retorts would be ideal for me. And then, you know, elementally, I was always drawn to fire growing up. I loved the firebenders. I loved any anime that featured someone who was a bit of a pyromaniac or an arsonist. You know, huge fan of Sasuke before his story developed.
Or he became a jerk.
Yeah, we know. We know what happened. But interestingly, when I started doing martial arts and I was practicing katas, my sensei Tim was like, you move very much like earth. you're very strong and direct. And it really, because I was like, no, I'm fire. I'm obviously fire. I love fire. And fire was his style and kind of like the ideal karate style where it was like smooth and then fast. So I was like, no, I want to be the cool one. But it's interesting because it's kind of changed my perspective where now I'm like, ooh, a dragon with like earth powers or like metallurgy or something like that would be
they are cool. Probably the earth dragons are probably the ones that are the most sarcastic and sit around making quips at you and being like, what are you doing, stupid human?
Well, you know, so then satisfy both requirements. I don't see the problem here. Well, let's get back to Flamecraft. First, we're going to talk about how to play.
How you play is you start the game with 3 artisan dragons, which can be placed at shops, and 1 fancy dragon to aid your gameplay. The game is played by first moving your dragon to a shop that's on the board, and then you take 1 of 2 turn options once you've moved there. The first turn option is to gather. Gather turns have 4 parts. First, you gain the goods available at the shop. These are noted by the shop icons and by the icons on any dragons already working there. There are 6 types of goods: iron, crystal, potion, bread, plant, and meat. Second, you may place an artisan dragon to work at the shop. There are 6 types of artisan dragons. They correspond to the same types of goods and the shop's types. Each artisan dragon is unique, but there are a set number of each type. So there's a set number of iron, crystal, potion, bread, plant, and meat dragons. You can place a dragon when there's room at the shop and it meets the requirements listed at that space at the shop. Your rewards are determined based on where you can place that dragon. Third, on a gather turn, you may fire up a dragon at your shop. This ranges based on the type of dragons available. For example, bread dragons always allow you to recruit another dragon from the park, while iron dragons reward you with goods. Fourth and lastly, you may use a shop ability. These shop abilities range and can give you opportunities to increase reputation, gain or spend goods, or recruit more dragons. Gather turns are good for building resources and recruiting dragons, and are the more common turn type in your average game.
The second turn option is to enchant. On an enchant turn, you can choose an available enchantment and apply it to a relevant shop you travel to. Enchantments yield rewards or reputation points, and occasionally even artisan or fancy dragons. However, you must pay the cost listed on the enchantment, which are the goods you have acquired in gather turns. Enchanting a shop allows you to fire up all dragons currently working in the shop. This can be very helpful, so it's in your best interest to enchant shops which already have many dragons present. Enchanting turns do not, however, allow you to use shop abilities. As you take the 2 turn options, new dragons will replace those recruited from the park, and new shops will be added after another shop is completely filled, up to the game maximum of 12. There are limits to the maximum number of goods or artisan dragons you can hold at one time.
Additional gameplay mechanics are tied to fancy dragons. There are 2 types of fancy dragons, Sun and Moon. Sun dragons must be activated during gameplay, at any stage in one of your turns. These might reward you for conditions in town, goods in your hand, or other conditions met in the present.
Moon dragons will reward you at the end of the game. This will be for conditions met after the last turn has been taken. Again, they can be conditions in town, such as plant dragons being the most populous. or for finishing with more bread tokens than any other player. You will be rewarded reputation points for playing Fancy Dragons. The amount rewarded is stated on the Fancy Dragon card. So now that we've discussed the outline of how to play, we'll go through some of the elements of the game. It will become evident quickly, I fear, that I am a huge fan of this game, but I will be fair and judicious, and you will give your own opinions. So first, let's talk artwork.
Artwork. First of all, I love the art style. And even though there's only six types of dragons, I love that they drew a different dragon and named a different dragon every single time. Mm-hmm. Makes it so fun, and it makes it, it really like immerses you in this world, you know? Plus, you get more opportunities to make cool puns, like a plant dragon called Mulch, or a meat dragon called Skewert. Like, that's super fun.
Yeah, I love that as well. I love that they're all different. They all have slightly different artwork that the meat dragons are obviously all relevant to meat in some way, but some of them seem to take it much more seriously as opposed to like Hot Dog, who's just wandering around with a bunch of hot dogs on a skewer. And, you know, the plant dragons, there's Lotus, who's interacting with the Lotus. There's some of them with rakes. The crystal dragons all have like slightly different coloring patterns, which is very fun and very relevant to crystals. And then the design of the iron dragons is much more chunky and solid. And there's just so many little details in every single piece of this game that you can just sort of fall in love with. And even more than the individual dragons, I love the stores.
Yeah.
I can't get over the stores. I mean, they've just spent so much time not only designing the art, but giving them names that reference all these things. Cause you've got, you know, Funky Brewsters. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like Saving Throw, which is a pottery studio. Because what do you do with pottery? Throw pottery.
Yeah.
Of course, Stuff the Magic Dragon, which I've already talked about, is a play on Build-A-Bear workshops, which are wonderful. And like in this artwork, there's little dragon stuffies, but there's also something that looks like maybe a bumblebee sheep and something that looks like a very Totoro-inspired owl, which just leads to this being a bigger world.
It really comes across how much fun the designers had.
Oh, for sure. And I'm debating how much I want to give myself away here, but if you're on the Game Table Podcast Discord, you already know that I have a slight obsession with Sindara, and I follow her on several different platforms, and I've interacted with her on different platforms. And so she's done Flamecraft with Cardboard Alchemy. She's also done Critter Kitchen with Cardboard Alchemy, which I just received for my birthday, and I'm so excited to get into. And then she's working on one now called Tea Witches, and it's this beautiful marriage of detail with whimsy. Because sometimes whimsy can be very gestural and very like Art Nouveau, but without lines. And I think what's great about Sindara is that she captures really good line work detail with a watercolor aesthetic and like this more calming, whimsical, beautiful background. I could go on for like half an hour.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously we can keep on going on about the artwork forever, but Kaylee, what's the draw?
Oh gosh, all of it.
Oh, I was making a pun.
Oh, good one. Oh, I can't believe you got that past me. I mean, that's a big draw of it, I feel like. It's such a perfect segue. I think what is great about this game is it sits in a unique space of the ability to be competitive, but also you can just have a good time while you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the punny names, the references to all these different properties. There's references to traditional Dungeons and Dragons and traditional RPG games. There's references to like Star Wars and sci-fi type of games. There's references to modern pop culture like Smith Mart, Gnome Depot, Draco Bell, as we've discussed. Like, so you can just be in this world and let the time pass and just be like, I'm going to Critical Roles because I want to, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's such a cool aspect for some people that usually like really like to win or maybe really hate to lose. Like, at least this is such a fun adventure while you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think this is a very fun game to play just in general, you know, just to enjoy, like I said before, just enjoy kind of how much fun the game makers had making this game. Because it really comes across in all the little details that are in it.
Yeah, nothing feels like a first draft.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, no, let me correct that. Because some things feel like first draft hits, like Draco Bell. That was probably like one of the first three stores they thought of. I like in my head canon, that's what happened. Yeah. But then there's all these other things that add to it, like we were playing with the more advanced enchantment cards last night and, you know, there's an enchantment called Hydroponics and it's a plant enchantment, but it's a reference to hydras. There's Runeshine, which is a potion enchantment. And of course, coming from Appalachia, that appeals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this one, I was struggling with the pronunciation because I was trying to pronounce Seder correctly, but it's clearly meant to be Satira Misu. And I mean, Phi Phi Pho, like the Vietnamese Phi Phi food. Pho, yeah. Oh my gosh. Like you're just so for it, comes up.
And it is a game that you can play with a lot with I mean, when it says 2 to 5, it's true. You know, like I think you can have fun with this game, an equal amount of fun with this game, if there's 2 players or 5 players or whatever, because the game is just very well made. It's very easy to play. It is a good, you know, relaxing game to play it with many types of groups, I feel like.
Yeah. I think for me, it does sit pretty firmly in the cozy category because of how fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can absolutely have that player interaction and be competitive and really kind of have a turn that gets you 12 reputation points and you leave the rest of the field behind.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I wouldn't put it solely as a cozy game in that way. So let's talk about our favorite mechanics.
Sure. I'm going to mention 2 actually here.
Okay.
The first mechanic I'm going to mention is the addition of companion dragons. Companion dragons are dragons which you draw randomly at the first of the game if you want to play with them. And
yes, it's an optional feature.
Mm-hmm. And what they do is they build off of a game mechanic already in place. So for instance, one game mechanic, maybe getting a certain good type and your companion dragon will allow you to get more of that good type under certain circumstances or use that specific good type in different ways. So yeah, I think companion dragons, number one, it's another little dragon that you could have next to you. And that's a fun, that's more world building because you're this, you know, dragon trainer, dragon crafter, you know, that you get to,
and you have a little buddy.
and you have a little buddy that gets to walk around with you. You know, that's cool world building, first of all. Mm-hmm. But number two, from a competitive standpoint, I find myself with a companion dragon kind of sitting and waiting for when's the opportune moment, you know, to really make the most of this companion dragon and just like see if I can really time it right to spur myself in the lead. And so it adds a little bit more of a competitive edge to it sometimes, I feel like, which is nice to, as you said, you know, something that feels very much like a cozy game. The second mechanic I'm going to talk about, though, is fancy dragons. Kaylee's played this game with me several times. Yeah,
I'm gonna get you on that.
At least one of the games, one of the early games we played, I just amassed fancy dragons and she went straight reputation. And then after the game ended, I was like, oh, and here's like 24 points I'm gonna get fancy, or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I will say I've tried that strategy again on a different game and it didn't work. So,
because there were more players. If it had been just me, you would have trounced me again.
Gotcha. You think that you're the issue here?
Yeah. Well, no. Wait. Yeah. No. That's of course the two favorite mechanics you name are the two that you've utilized to defeat me most miraculously, which is very funny. Because I was going to talk about companion dragons, but much later as a not favorite part.
Oh, well, you know.
But I will cede that the companion dragons are like an additional, like, second draft element of this for me. Because, like, you pulled Sandara. First off. Companion dragons are based on the creators of the game. So they like reflect what these different people maybe contribute. Like one of them is for Manny Vega. One of them is for Sandara. But then there's also ones where their dragon type reflects either their personality or maybe what they've added to the development of the game. Like I had Brad the other day and I don't know Brad, but I assume he's added, like, he's contributed to the physical components of the game because he was an iron dragon and his ability was that you could use iron elements for different enchantments. And so, like, it just struck me as, like, oh, I don't know this person, but I imagine he's somebody who can, like, make things work.
Okay.
Like, that was just kind of that personality element that felt like came through the mechanic of the game. And like Sandara's, we were sort of joking about, Sandara is the artist. Sandara's card allows her to draw more fancy dragons at the beginning of the game, which is just funny because she drew all the fancy dragons.
Sure.
It's just that little homophone play on words there, which I love.
She's a sucker for a pun.
Yeah, I know. This game really has me cornered. It's got puns. It's got dragons. It's got good art and shopping. I mean,
what's not to
I'm
love,
really
right?
Cornered here.
They've got you pegged.
But speaking of shopping, I think my favorite mechanic are the shop abilities because they're accessible to everyone. As opposed to the companion dragons, which are specific to you. But a shop ability can result in some really clutch turns. Or that game we played with your parents where Wishing Well, I think that was the first time it had been one of our shops. But it has an ability where you can flip three coins, and if you get heads, you get reputation points. But if you get tails, you lose the coin and don't get anything.
Yeah.
And that was really cool because I was, as usual, desperate towards the end of the game and flipped three coins and got all heads and had a great time. And then later your mom did the same thing and lost two of her coins for nothing. So that was really cool because that one was more for chance. But then some of them build on the lore. Some of them reinforce their shop types. Some of them reward you reputation for doing nice things for other players. We really liked Saving Throw the other night because you got to place a dragon, which is a very advantageous thing in the game. But then if you filled a shop by placing a dragon, you got additional 4 reputation. So we were getting some turns with 7 reputation kind of minimum, and that was great. I'm just noticing as I'm looking back through these, something we didn't note in artwork is also Sindara's attention to inclusion. There's all kinds of different body types. I'm looking at Wishing Well, and there's a girl with vitiligo or something similar. Like, there's representation of different humans and humanoids.
Yeah, yeah.
In this as well, like different genders and skin colors and all that kind of stuff. Here's a guy with glasses working at Gnome Depot. Like, just that, like, modern inclusion.
Your safety glasses.
You're pretty thin for safety glasses.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, here's a biracial couple. Like, there's just that, like, modern inclusion in fantasy artwork. That's really, really cool. For an example of one that the shop ability just matches the shop so well. If you go to Full Plate Buffet, fittingly, your ability is to gain 1 of each type of good or pay 1 coin to do it again.
Great.
So it's genuinely a buffet.
Getting a bunch of goods.
So I don't know. I really like that mechanic. I really like how it plays. I like how you set so many shops in the deck ahead of time, but you're not going to get through all of them. I think you set up like 16, but then you're only going to use 12 and it's shuffled.
Yeah.
So you don't know exactly which ones you're going to get. And I really like that aspect.
Yeah. And it does feel like whereas, you know, the dragons all have, you know, there's 6 types of dragons and they all have the same abilities, right? The shops do feel more varied than that, which gives a very different game every time you play. You know, that's the variation. That's the way that you can kind of like continue to replay this game and still have fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're like wild card shops. Some games you might have shops, you might choose to put in shops with coins. Some games you might choose to put in shops that give you dragons. Some games you might do neither, and it's,
yeah,
you know, it changes it every time.
There is also a solo play mode listed in the rules of play. In one of the ways that it keeps it fresh for the solo mode is you start with a very limited deck, and then if you beat it in solo mode once, then you get to add more shops to your town for next time. Which is kind of a fun mechanic to keep solo play fresh.
Oh, so you start with like 6 shops only, but then you can add to it?
I haven't played solo mode.
Okay.
But yeah, it's something I remember reading through it, and that was kind of the mechanic, is you only started with a certain number of shops, and then next time you'd have more shops that could come up.
Okay. And we're going to come back to the solo version of Flamecraft in a later section as well. So now that we've talked about some of our favorites, what do you think the game is lacking?
We've already kind of covered this one, first of all, but it is hard to get like really competitive with this game. You know, as you mentioned, it is more of a cozy game. I think there are ways that you can like block other players or, you know, go to the shop that you think they're going to need to go, or make sure that you play a dragon on the spot that they might need or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But those opportunities don't come up super often. You know, there are very frequently other options for those players or things like that. So it is harder to be really competitive with this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a game where there's direct opportunities to be cutthroat, which is fine for me. And there are little mechanics that if somebody's on a shop you want to go to, you can still go there. You just have to pay them. I think it's like any random good. Yeah. So there are ways around it. As someone who's been trounced in this game twice.
Don't know what you're talking about.
You can still have heartbreaks. Like the last time we played in anticipation of recording this, you ended the game when I was still sitting on, like, my companion dragon hadn't been used, my four sun fancy dragons hadn't been used, and there was no way I could use them or meet their requirements, because, like, when one person triggers, it's everybody else's turn back to them, I think, and that's the end of the game. But in a two-person game, that meant I had one turn, and that was it.
Right.
And so you just like, you had this killer turn and you got way far ahead of me. And then we're like, okay, game over. And I was just sitting there like, there's no way I catch you. And there are little things that can feel passive aggressive. If that's how you want to read it, the plant dragons, you get to give a good to another player for 2 reputation points. So it's a very nice thing that you're doing. To benefit yourselves. So there's
you're being
those,
nice.
No, I know. There's those little.
You're giving little. What do you call them? Cuttings. You're giving cuttings to other people.
Oh, well. See, now you're selling me on it because I love plants. But you know, like if someone's already ahead of you, and then they're like, "Here, have a single potion," and I'm gonna get 2 hearts for this. Like sometimes you're just a little bit salty. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
But I'm actually going to flip-flop your favorite mechanics from earlier. I think, and I see this on Reddit, because of course I'm a huge fan, so I'm subscribed to r/flamecraft. And I'm also on their Discord server, blah, blah, blah. So I hear about it sometimes. And one of the things that comes up is that the companion dragons are a little bit imbalanced, which I think can easily be true. It turns out we were doing it wrong it turns out that we were doing the rules wrong the first time that you had Manny as a companion dragon, which would have made this better. But I do see lots of people talking about certain companion dragons just really changing the face of a game, whereas some others, I don't really see them having the ability to do that. So I think companion dragons are fun if you're willing to be in a non-competitive game. But if you have a game table that likes to be very competitive and will argue, like if you've got some rules lawyers at your game table, you might want to avoid the companion dragons because I could see that becoming a problem. However, say you're playing with your kids or something, absolutely. And give yourself the ones that you know aren't as clutch and let your kids have the really cool ones or something. And that can help kind of balance things in that way. And like you said, they are very fun because you get to imagine that Sandara's little blue dragon follows you around town while you're working. So I get that. What was the other thing you said you liked?
Yeah, I said fancy dragons.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they're extra victory point conditions. Yeah. It's a common thing.
I'm not going to trounce the fancy dragons. I respect that that is your play style and that you've been very effective at it. And every time I try to compete with you by also getting as many fancy dragons as I can, I can't use them.
It's the price you pay for not being lucky.
Guess so.
You've got to play by skill. I've got to play by luck. What can I say?
Oh, man.
I will bring up one other thing that this game is lacking, in my opinion.
Okay.
I didn't want to bring it up as my first thing because I feel like this is a cop-out answer sometimes, right? But often when we play at the end of the game, it feels like it stops short. Mm. You know, it feels like, oh, it feels like, you know, I want to keep playing a little bit more, or, you know, there's, you know, we didn't get all the shops out. We didn't, you know, what do you mean the Artisan Dragons are already empty, you know? And the reason I didn't want to say that as my first thing is because what's wrong with this game that there's not more of it, you know, like is maybe a cop-out answer, but I do feel like that is a complaint I have about this game, is that often there's, well, I think that our Artisan Dragons have almost always been the reason
we end
the game, you know, and we've tried to play this in a few different ways, and it's almost always the Artisan Dragons that run out first. And so I feel like I'm like, I really wish there was like a little bit extra stuff, you know,
sure,
so that we could experience more of the enchantments or things like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And actually, we talked about that after we finished our last game. Because we were playing two player, the rules had said to remove all these Artisan Dragons. And we kind of mutually agreed, like, yeah, we're just not going to do that in the future.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to leave them in and we're going to let it go. So, you know, I think that's something you can decide, because it does make the game go faster if that's what you're into. And yeah, that's a really good call. And of course, you know, you're going to be able to convince me easily that the problem with this game is that there's not more of it. And then also we're going to talk about what is going to be in our mailbox sometime in the future from the Duels Kickstarter.
Uh-oh.
So we're coming back to that. So we've already talked about player interaction quite a bit through those previous talking points, but is there anything else you think you want to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's cute that we're all working in the same town, but you mentioned giving somebody a potion and getting reputation, but that's how reputation works, right? You're doing it not to give them a potion. You're doing it to make yourself look good.
That was my argument. You know? And you were like, no, it's nice.
I mean, that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Cost of doing business.
Right. I think that in large groups, when there's like five players at the table, it's more fun to stay engaged, get excited about the new shops that come up all the time on the turn that it comes up, rather than like, you know, waiting for their turn and then coming back to the table and saying, oh, well, what can I do now? Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot on very large groups, there's the potential to kind of lose focus, you know, between rounds and things like that. But I do think that, you know, these turns are meant to go pretty quickly. And I think that there's enough artwork and enough puns and enough things, you know, that you can keep player engagement pretty well, and that helps with player interactions.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think once you've played the game several times, you can start to predict what other players are doing a little bit too. If you're staying engaged, like, you know, you'll see someone building the goods probably for a specific enchantment, and you'll go, huh, okay, well, I need to cross that out. Like, this person's going to go before me, so I need to not count on that enchantment still being there. Or there's been times that I've seen people's piles and been like, oh, I think I know what fancy dragon you have. And then you can go back to, like, if you really think you've anticipated it, like, some of the fancy dragons reward you for odd numbers of goods, or more goods of a certain type than any other player, you know, something like that. So there's been times when we're in bigger games of players that I'll see someone like getting all their goods down to one or three or something like that. And then you fire up a plant dragon and you're like, here. You give them a good that puts them back at an even number, and they're like, thanks. And so, you know, you do have those little opportunities if that's the way you want to play it. So player count is 1 to 5. There is an expansion, which is really just a different color dragon that allows you to go up to 6 that came out with Kickstarter. I think there's probably nothing stopping you from going higher than that if you have makeshift pieces or something else that you want to do. Like at a certain point,
it would become a very busy game because as you said, there are not penalties, but I mean, there is a penalty for going somewhere that there's already a player. You have to pay them a good, you know, at higher player counts, the game accounts for that by giving those last players in the round some goods to start with in case they want to go to a somewhere that someone's already at on their first turn. But yeah, it would get very crowded and adjust the game mechanics a bit. I feel like if you get too many people.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's a good segue to another point that I want to talk about, which are like the physical components of this game, which we talked about the artwork a lot, which is fantastic. But I think one of the other things that really gripped me, because again, you and I don't have the biggest board game collection yet. And this one I spied on Jared's shelf and was like, Artisan Dragons, they're going to make me coffee. That was for some reason what I took away from reading the back of the box.
Yeah, you said, hey, Jared, you should play that game and tell me how it is. And then he didn't play that game.
And then so he went, you take it.
You just brought it home.
He went, you take it and learn it and tell me how it is. And here we are. But anyway, when I like got it out, and then there's this beautiful printed neoprene mat of the town with, again, all these little artistic elements of the wishing well and the park and, you know, all these little shop entrances. Like I love to, when I turn up shop, pick the entrance that looks best with it. Like, I just think that's such a powerful intro to the gameplay and to what you're going to be into. And that was so impactful for me. And obviously I love the little wooden dragon meeples that come with it that you can play with. I think I've talked about on my podcast, Table Topics, the unique colors that they come in as well. Like the iron dragons being this like really beautiful, like navy teal, kind of dark blue. And then you've got your more primary colors, but then you've also got gentler colors. Like, I love that. And then, of course, when I did discover that I was going to be obsessed with this game, I went and purchased, I think both sets of the 3D dragons are very cute, but I went and specifically found someone selling Series 1, which is now out of print, because I just think the body language in the Series 1 3D printed dragons is just so beautiful. Like that leaf or the plant dragon, like, you know, kind of poised in this beautiful pirouette. And then the meat dragon looks like maybe he's giving a college lecture, or he's going to tell you about the best hamburger he's ever had.
He's trying to sell some street meats, I think.
That could be very true. I just really love all the physical components that go with this game. Which leads me to discussion of expansions and options that you can do. If any of you participated in the Flamecraft Duels Kickstarter campaign, you had the opportunity to get the art book by Sandara. There's going to be some more custom coasters that you can use while you play the game or just in your daily life if you're like me. And there's an expansion to this game called Dragons and Dragons, which is grouping some of the dragons in teams. So you can like go with Team Cozy, and now it's more of like a casual game that focuses on just the fun elements. Or you can go with Team Gift, where it's a game that you get these abilities to like gift other people.
It's all about giving people often. Stuff.
Yeah, and definitely not in a passive aggressive way. There's one that I know is more for player interaction and cutthroat, but I'm forgetting the name of it right now. And then there's Team Gamer, which takes one element from each of these different categories to sort of balance it. And you can pick, you know, which one you want to be. And that's very cool. And they also introduce these Hydreigons that are coming with duels. In addition, there's a companion dragon specifically for the solo mode who has been named Han.
Han Solo.
Yeah, see, you're there.
I get it. I'm picking up on see, all these puns except for Draco Bell.
We called it Draco Bell for a whole, or no, we called
it. I called it Draco Bell, correct. And then you said, no, like, no, Nathan.
It's clearly Draco Bell.
Clearly Draco Bell.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You've got lots to look forward to if you've participated in that. And I've got some of the expansion shops and they're all good. The alternative starter shops allow you to start building reputation straight from turn one, which I think was an interesting change because the regular starter shops.
The regular starter shops don't have any shop abilities.
Yeah, they don't have any shop abilities. Yeah. Right. And then, of course, if you want things like cute plushies, you get those too. And they're also, most of my stuff, because I found it post the original Flamecraft Kickstarter, came straight from Cardboard Alchemy. You can order from their US store online. And then, of course, if you hit this Kickstarter or if you want to join the pledge manager for late pledging after it opens, that'll be an option to you. I really love this game. And then, of course, Duels Coming is a completely different game, but I'm very excited about it. It's more of like a puzzle tile game.
Okay.
But the board design and the game element design looks
very similar.
Not similar, but very intuitive. Like the game board itself closes up like a little briefcase and closes, and it's magnetic. So it's a very portable game and just a different thought line than the original Flamecraft game, but using the elements of the Flamecraft game that already work, which are the art and the design and just the very intuitive very elements cool. of it. So very cool. Just a little shout out to them.
Yeah. Well, it's always like, you know, I mean, I said it twice already, but, you know, it's always nice to see and experience a game where you can tell the designers enjoyed making it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Huge. Love that. And it's obvious.
It is.
It's just so Flamecraft. It's just every piece, every word, every element, every reward is connected, is tied back. And I think there wasn't a discussion point where it felt relevant to bring this up, but like the existence of the different dragon types is also so balanced because there's a lot that you yield to early game. You know, early game, you want bread dragons, you want meat dragons. Potion dragons are clutch all the time. They're such the unsung hero of this game. And then later in the game, you start needing more goods because now you're doing more enchantment turns. And then very end of game, you want to fire up these plant dragons to, again, not passive aggressively give people stuff to get reputation points. Mm. So I think that's so cool. Like the balance that is maintained throughout this game. So we got to put numbers to it.
Numbers can be a letter. There's always a number.
You know what? It'll have to be a number second, but if you would like to rank it.
S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier.
Yeah, I was like the Naruto mission tiers. What letter ranking would you give Flamecraft?
I'd put it in A, you know, A plus, right? Okay.
So Jonin.
Yeah, it's a Jonin little game.
Well, okay, wait, no, if we're mission ranking this, I don't know if I can call this an S rank mission. Because it's not that difficult. It's very accessible.
Well, yeah, it's not difficult, but just in general as a game.
But how bad do I want to do it? I want it to be an S-rank mission. Okay. Silliness. Numbers. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rank this game?
Yeah, I would put it at like a 7 or 8.
Okay.
You know, I think it is a very fun game. It's has a lot of replayability. It's very accessible as a game. It's not like too difficult to teach, too difficult to learn. The only real downsides, as I mentioned, for me, are that there's not more of it. And that I do often like to be really competitive with games. And this is not the kind of game that I reach for right off the bat when I'm wanting to play a game, because that sometimes.
That makes sense. That's a fair argument. I mean, I think I'll get flamed if I give
it. Go on.
I think I'll get flamed if I give it a 10. So I'm going to give it a 9.9.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this game so has my number, and I do enjoy being competitive, but I'm perfectly content to not. I'm more often in the mood to be competitive in this sort of light way, so that particular aspect doesn't bother me, and I just really enjoy the journey. And like, I just want to introduce this game to all my friends and have a great time with it.
Yeah. But if you are looking for a light game that you guys can play at your table, think about Flamecraft. Think about all the little dragons you can have fun with in building your little tiny town.
Yeah. If you love RPGs, if you love D&D, if you love
plants,
sure, fantasy books, reading, plants,
if you cartoons. Collect gems and spirits,
there's so many things you could love this game. And I think that's what's cool. Like, one of the enchantments the other day was like Saber of Light. And I was like, yeah, we get it. You know, but it's bringing in all this Han Solo, Saber of Light. Like, there's something for everybody that you can find that you'll enjoy. And Cardboard Alchemy, I hope you consider this my application to contribute to future games. If you
as
need.
As long as she gets to work right alongside Sandara.
I'll go to Singapore. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. Well, if you have feedback, we'd love to hear it. Our socials and links are in the show notes below. And you can also talk to me personally at Table Topics Podcast on Instagram, or join the Discord and see how much I post about Sandara. Thank you for joining us here today. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope we've given you some helpful information on deciding whether or not Flamecraft is for your table. And we look forward to seeing you next time. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. Bye-bye now.
Goodbye, Flamecrafters. Goodbye, dragons and dragonettes.
Bye, Skewert. Thanks for all the hot dogs.